The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
UFC Unfiltered today. Matt is fattening me up for the slaughter, bringing in treats. Glover Teixeira calls in. Cub Swanson calls in. Derek Brunson calls in. We do our picks.
Yes!
Matt sings. I fart. It's a fun one.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again. He's out.
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
I cannot continue to host this show with Matt Serra.
What, Jimmy?
I'm sitting here.
You're starting the show kind of rough.
With my stomach hanging over my belt.
Oh, okay.
And it's because fucking Matt, first of all, I'm eating poorly everywhere. Matt's bringing in these snacks.
Yes.
And they're gluten-free, but that doesn't mean calorie-free.
Yeah.
He brought in these coconut chocolate balls. Yeah. They were like the hazelnut chocolate things.
Today.
I can't stop
today,
eating.
Jimmy, I took a chance, Jimmy. I like to take chances in life. And I like to live on the edge. And I went with the there was a choice. I could have played it safe.
Yeah.
You know, and just coasted and went with the hazelnut. Because I like hazelnut.
Sure, me too.
And but there was coconut. And chocolate with coconut. All these gluten-free balls. So you know what? Let's be a risk taker. Let's roll the dice.
Let's
be a, like Cowboy Cerrone jumping off cliffs and shit.
Yeah.
Let's get the fucking coconut. And guess what? Delicious! Jimmy. Fucking right or
dare wrong. I say even more addicting than the hazelnut.
Whoa.
Matt and I were literally like two fucking members of The View.
I was just
sitting here going, oh God, the chocolate's too much for my hips, but isn't it good? Better than the hazelnut. Oh, I concur. We make both of us sick.
We had some of these, yeah. And I went
fucking
to the,
great.
I went to the bathroom. I come back, and I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed it. And I got so excited. I go, Jimmy, I grabbed you by the shoulder. Christopher Medusa thought I was talking about a fighter.
Yeah, Chris thought he had like Ally Aquinta inside information.
Yeah. And we were talking about Brunson before we started. And then Matt sat down and was like, Jimmy, I got to tell you. And yeah, I was like, I thought he was going to say something about the fight. Yeah.
By the way, we do have Derek Brunson calling in. We have Glover Teixeira calling in. And we also have, don't tell me, Cub Swanson.
Killer Cub, yeah.
Calling in today. What a great, I don't think I've ever talked to Glover. I've never spoken to him. We have had Brunson on the phone, I believe.
Yeah, we have had Glover also, but like a while back. And I don't, maybe
and he probably purposefully avoided
you know,
it.
He did, yeah. You know what I like?
Spilling your beverages?
I got to stop asking the questions to you, Jimmy.
Matt spilled
his
beverage.
You're too witty with that. Oh, I did a little bit. Yeah. I don't even pay attention to it anymore because it's like people think I probably just do it on purpose. Just a fucking, I don't know. Anyway, now I got ADD. Oh, I know what I was going to say. First of all, and this has something to do with what we're talking about, with Glover, okay? I didn't see it with him, but it's Endgame. I seen Endgame yesterday and asked me if I liked it, Jimmy. I'm not going to even wait.
Yes.
Oh, what? Of course I did, Jimmy. Dude, it was so good, Jimmy. I'll save it for a movie minute. Okay?
Did you like the part where they were both on the dragons and the dragons were going down, but then the other dragon came?
Listen, Jimmy.
What?
That's something else, but don't don't mess with my emotions. But listen to me.
You cry?
But having to do with that.
Did you cry?
I got 100%. I went with my wife because my kids are in school. So we do what all adults do. We go see superhero movies when our kids are at school. So, we went at like 10 a.m., you know, because it's a 3-hour movie.
Crowded?
And yeah, there was some nerds there, you know. But I'll tell you, there's some emotional parts. I'll talk about it later. But Thanos is fucking awesome. I love Thanos.
I have to see a couple of those before I see this one because I'm not caught up.
Yeah, see Infinity War if you want. Yeah. Right before that. That way you have an idea what the fuck's going on. I mean, it could stand alone. You get an idea what's going on. It's 3 hours.
I heard that it was a really surprise ending where the Hulk gets arrested for exposing his genitals in a rest area.
You're sick, Jimmy. Is that like a dream of yours?
No, I just, people can say in the shocking ending. I'm like, what could be a shocking ending? That would be a shocking.
That would be shocking. Yeah,
people are crazy.
He might lose fans and even gain fans. But where was I? Oh, so that pitch, there's a picture of right after Glover won the other night, the way I predicted him to win, by the way.
We should
bring that up to
him. We can.
Because people might think I'm bullshitting.
No, you got it.
You know, I don't want to be a braggart, but it's true, Jimmy. Second round submission. I was so happy. It was so exciting, you know. It made it better that
Ewan.
Yeah, I said it right, Ewan.
It's Ewan.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
He went across right into his fucking grill. I want to ask him about that.
Sure.
What he felt about when he went across the cage, got right up in his face. A guy not as composed as Glover could have smacked, did something.
Can we see that?
Yes, please. Let's
push.
And while you're getting that, after this fight, while you're getting that up there, after the fight, so I'm talking to Dana, you know, cage side, and all of a sudden I get an arm around my neck and it's fucking Glover putting a rear naked on me. And somebody captured it and took a picture of it. And the UFC said they captured it. This is one way to celebrate, you know. So then, you know, sometimes you look at the likes.
I think you have a lawsuit.
So imagine that, Jimmy. So, dude, I can't turn my neck. So, you know, sometimes you look at the likes. Yeah, who liked that picture? It's a cute picture. And fucking Josh Brolin, Thanos.
Wow.
Cable, also from Deadpool, liked that picture. I don't want to go crazy with this thing, but no.
Josh Brolin?
Come on, man. Josh, no, Brand from Goonies. No, this guy's, I followed his whole career. I didn't even try to.
He liked that, he hates Matt Serra. He wants to see you get choked. Oh, that's heartbreaking.
I didn't think about it like that, Jimmy. And I'm such a fan, Jimmy. I didn't even think about it like that.
I'm heartbroken. My poor friend Matt.
I'm a fan of that guy.
Yeah.
And
isn't it cool when they like you too?
It is weird. Well, I don't even know if he he might like Glover. You know, just in the picture, you know. But I am a fan from, and it's funny how some guys have that kind of career where, dude, he was Brandon Goonies, which was, you know, my childhood. Who doesn't like Goonies, Jimmy, besides fucking, do you like Goonies, Christopher Thusa?
I don't think I ever saw it.
I've seen it, but a while ago. Like, I haven't watched it recently, but yeah, it's a good movie.
Maybe I don't even think I want to talk to you anymore.
That's
now.
Fair enough.
It's I such get a Derek good Brunson fucking on the phone, movie. By the way. I get him on the, I want to see if he's seen Goonies. Sure. But anyway, Jimmy, did I lose you at Goonies?
Not 100%. Oh, okay. I just never saw it.
No, what, you never saw fucking Goonies, Jimmy?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. I was busy.
As a kid.
I was fucking.
No, you weren't, Jimmy.
I know.
You're fucking funny. What else, Jimmy? I'm getting Derek on the phone. You know, it's funny. I was going to ask him about Elias Theodoro is a bit of an enigma for some people. A puzzle to figure out, Jimmy.
Yes, he is. He's very, very.
So I was thinking, how is Derek going to solve this puzzle? And then I thought of that puzzle he solved with Lyoto Machida. Oh,
yeah.
Let's ask him about
it. Oh, we have Derek on the phone now?
Yes.
Oh, hey, Derek. You're talking to the great Matt Serra and Jim Norton on UFC Unfiltered. How are you, buddy?
What's up, Derek?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good.
Doing very good. You have a very tough fight coming up, but then again, so does Elias Theodoro. Coming up with him, how do you figure a guy like that out? Because he seems like he is so good at everything.
Yeah, he's a well-rounded guy. He likes to move a lot, you know, stay busy. I think he's like comfortable with just winning a fight on points. So he's just, you know, you just got to go in there and impose your will on a guy like that.
And you know, you do have a very well-timed blitz, man. When you come forward and you, with like fucking 8 strikes. This is what I was thinking about on the way in here of this fight. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, Elias Theodoro as a bit of an enigma for a lot of people. He's kind of hard to hit. He's got a little unorthodox, you know, style. But then, Derek Brunson, I think about you versus another guy who's hard to time, and that's Lyoto Machida. And we saw how that went.
Yeah.
So that's got to give you confidence, right? I mean, do you ever think about that when you're, all right, I'm fighting this guy that's hard to time and yada, 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 yada. But look what I did with Lyoto.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like whenever I'm in front of these guys in my division, I feel like I'm the faster guy. It's just more about taking my time and setting my strikes. And like you said earlier, that guy that comes forward with like 8 strikes, not really doing 8 strikes, you know, just 2 or 3, and I hit hard so I can get the finish. So just taking my time out there pretty much.
I exaggerated with the 8 strikes, but it does seem like you throw a lot going forward, but it's good. It's a compliment.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah.
And
when it works, it looks good.
And honestly, and I think we've told you this before, you know, everybody loves Anderson Silva, but I thought that you absolutely won that fight. So, you know, as far as your fighting skill, at one point you had, won a bunch of fights, dropped one to Whitaker, and I thought you beat Silva, and then you beat Dan Kelly and Lyoto Machida. How did you feel about that Silva fight? You must have been very disappointed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was. You know, I thought I got the decision, which, you know, a large percentage of people who viewed the fight, they thought I got the decision also. So, yeah, that fight is way past, but it's just, like I said, about going forward, getting that momentum going forward and really taking my time and showcasing my skills.
Did Adesanya hit a little harder? Because he's not known for knockout power. Did he hit a little harder than you thought, or did he just catch you with one you didn't see coming?
No, it was just more about my forward pressure, you know. I think earlier I walked into a knee just a poor game plan. That's why I twisted up for this camp. You know, I went out and got in front of more MMA guys. The last couple of years I've been in front of a lot of kickboxers, so I switched it up and got in front of more MMA guys so they're able to give me different looks in that MMA field so I'll be prepared for, you know, an MMA fight opposed to just trying to kickbox. But it's one of those fights that's like, okay, I know this guy can't out-grapple me, so I'm going to make him feel my grappling. And I just went to the world too much and got caught with a knee. And then, you know, I was a little, you know, rattled and just kept coming forward. You know, I'm not one of these guys that back off when I'm rattled. I'm like, all right, let's fight, you know, so.
You keep moving forward.
One of the things working on.
Now, let's just say things do go well for you Saturday night. Do you still have an interest in fighting Paulo Costa, who is, he's back. He was out for a little bit, but he's now back. And I think you guys have had a little static in the past.
No, that guy has a lot of other issues going on. I'm interested in fighting anybody, but it's a matter of taking my time and just really getting better and letting my coaches and my managers speak for my fights. Like, you can look at my record. I fought every single body in the division. So, I mean, I need for some of these guys to fight each other. You know, a lot of guys are ducking and dodging each other. So I definitely would like to see some guys fight each other and mix up the division. And I'm just sit back and let my coaches and my manager, you know, do the rest.
Yo, Derek, did you see the fight over the weekend between Jack Hermanson and Jacare?
Yeah, I saw that fight. Yeah.
What'd you think, man?
It was a good showing for the kid. You know, it's tough, man. When you come into a fight and you really have nothing to lose but everything to gain, and then you're this guy, you get a short notice replacement. Because I mean, I've seen the guy, I've seen his losses, I've seen his skill set. You know, I think he's good, but you know, he's good for performance. I mean, Jacare looked a little different in that fight, so we can say those things also. So a little of both.
Do you think sometimes stepping in last minute is an advantage or a disadvantage? I mean, because then neither one of you guys has any time to prepare for each other. So when you're scheduled to fight and they swap out your opponent last minute, do you think that gives you some kind of an advantage over him, or do you hate that?
You know, at the end of the day, you're supposed to be ready at all times. And when you go from Hermanson is good, but he's a lesser. I mean, I would say that Romero is a lot harder to deal with. So he's got to get up for every fight and be ready, you know. And I mean, Jacare didn't look strong. He didn't look fast. You know, he gassed. He was falling all over. I mean, you never seen him really get taken down like that. You know, maybe he's getting a little bit older. You know, he looked a lot different out there.
Yeah, it looks sometimes like you could see like it was just taking him a little longer. I think that the announcers were saying that he looked like he really wasn't as present, which I don't know. I'm not sure if that's ever happened to you in a fight, but I've had a few guys say that where you're fighting and you just feel like you can't make happen what you want to make happen. Tyron Woodley said that after the fight he just had with Kamaru Usman, that he just couldn't do what he wanted to do.
Yeah, I hear people say that, but like I said, you have to get up and be ready for every fight. You can always sit back and say this and that and make excuses or feel sorry for yourself, but at the end of the day, you got to get up for fights. You got to be ready for fights. If you're not ready, it's due to your preparation and maybe you taking a guy lightly or kind of like maybe you're pissed off at the matchup because you didn't get the fight that you deserve or something came at the last minute. But that's fighting, man. It's like definitely the toughest sport in the world, you know. You just have to be ready.
Have you had that happen to you when you were getting ready to fight, when you were walking in, where like you're like, I got to refocus myself here? Have you had those moments either in the cage or right before?
Yeah, I've had it. I mean, I think every athlete go through it. You know, it's just like I say, you gotta control that mind. You know, you gotta be in the moment, ready for whatever comes your way, and understand that a curveball could be thrown at you at the last minute. You know, especially if you're one of these top guys, everybody's jockeying for your spot. Everybody's like looking at you as an opportunity. So people are gonna give you their best fight. It's kind of like if you're a known guy and you go to a gym where there's not like when there's a lot of up and comers, everybody's gonna give you 100%. They might take off the other rounds, or might go like 50% of the rounds, but when they get in front of you, they go on 100. So it's kind of like fighting. Whenever you that guy that's ranked, you know, are more ranked than the other person, you got to be ready for it because the other person looking at you as an opportunity.
You're right, because they've been watching you for years and going, when I get my hands on him, I'm gonna really prove my. That's why I think it's always harder as the champion to continually defend a belt, because you're the guy that everybody's had their eye on, and you're the guy with the target on his back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's. This is an unforgivable sport, and it's like everybody's good, you know, especially, you know, if you're looking at top 15s of a division, everybody's good. So you have to keep evolving and keep getting better.
Yeah. Sometimes Jimmy likes to just throw in here and bring me down to earth and basically bring up that I didn't defend my belt, Derek, but
That's not true. I say that off the air. A lot of times Matt will say, hey, do you want to come over? And I say, yeah, well, if you defended your belt, maybe. But since you didn't, I can't make it.
Derek, come on, man. You see what I got to deal with this shit?
Oh. Yeah, bro, that's rough.
That is rough.
Hey, man, you're really, really fun to watch fight. We always love watching you. You're the co-main against Elias Theodoro, and that is in Ottawa, and it's this Saturday, May the 4th at 8 o'clock, Aya Quinta against Cowboy Cerrone. That's an incredible card.
I'm excited for you, Derek. You know, Elias has, you know, he's coming off a winning streak here, and, You know, every fight is like a reset button, man. You can go from having a rough fight to go from being this right back in the fucking mix. So I'm excited for you, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny because I sit home and I'm frustrated. I'm like, man, I had all the like everything to be champion by now, and I didn't do it. I got a little too greedy in certain moments. You know, I got caught up in the hype and trying to knock people out. I got caught up in like the old school UFC where if you're a wrestler and you come in and get a decision that they're going to shelf you for like 6 months, you know. So it's a matter of just going out and like reinvent myself and taking my time and having fun and really showcasing my true skill set.
Awesome, man.
Well, yeah. You're still in the top 10, so you're absolutely not out of anything. So, yeah, it's interesting you say you got greedy too and you were looking for knockouts, because we talked recently about guys like Roy Nelson, who's, you know, he's a jiu-jitsu black belt, but then just, you know, he just started knocking people out. I guess it does get a little harder to make yourself wrestle when you know you have knockout power.
Yeah, I mean, you start falling in love with it, you know, instead of forgetting your true base, you know. Yeah. Gets a little contagious after a while.
All right, well, good luck this Saturday, man. We love watching you, and it's going to be a great fight with yourself and Elias Theodoro, and we always appreciate when you come on the show.
I'll be out there, man. I'll see you out there, Derek.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care, man.
Take care, man. All right, man. I mean, listen, I like both guys.
Sure.
I didn't know Elias does a podcast. I think he hit me up the other day. I got to give him a call back to go on his podcast.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I would.
Sure, he's a nice guy.
I'm putting it out there right now that I just now remembered, the world will know that I just now remembered that he texted me yesterday. So I fucking didn't text him back. So I'm not being a douchebag. I just got the memory of a fucking goldfish.
You know, they say goldfish have a better memory than people think.
Oh, I stand by it. Fucking asshole.
That's a shame if they do.
Let me see this card. Look at those guys. That's a fuck, dude. I am. First of all, can I just tell you, I'm going out there tomorrow, and I love Canada, one. We have a lot of people that like us out there, Jimmy.
Really?
And I think so.
They probably like you.
Well, Jimmy, maybe you're right. They might like you, too.
I don't know.
You know, a lot of them say, yeah, and Jimmy. And whatever. I think they say that. They like the show.
They think it.
And you're a huge part of the show.
Well, they like you in Canada because you gave them the belt back. But
yeah.
That is an excellent point.
What a fuck.
You know, Chris did make a valid point.
Hey, Spider, why the fuck is he allowed to joke around with me like that? Oh, hold on.
You're going to take this shit?
Listen, I don't want to point out the totem pole shit.
Yeah, no.
All right. No, seriously. No, that's fine. Say that. Your job's in jeopardy. But listen to me. It's either all okay or nothing's okay. A friend told me that once.
Yeah.
I'm winking at Jimmy.
That's right, because I was talking about sex.
Ew. Okay. So what was I talking about? Oh, so I can't wait to be with my team, man. I look forward to not only the fight, but fight week. And it's cool when one guy's fighting, but now we got, you know, put up the fight card, please, so we can see the order here.
Well, you
and
do
I
want to
see one Marab. We have Marab.
I guess Brad Katona. Yeah.
Yes, but let me see. Marab, look at that. Oh, wow. Yeah, we're jumping back and forth the corners here. But, you know, we're going to have Aljo with us. Aljo's already out there. We have this one of our new young guns, Dennis Bazooka, is with us. Our buddy, Marab's best buddy, Zuka. It's just obviously Longo.
I might be up there.
Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, if you want me to jump in the corner.
No, I'm talking about my team, though.
No, but if you want me to be up there, I'm on a team here. So if you want me to jump in and be on the corner and throw some words of encouragement out.
But hold on, we're going
to
get back.
I'd love to do that.
We're going to get back to that. But
I like Al.
What kind of advice would you give maybe in the corner?
I would tell Al, you got to go out there. You got to land some punches.
Now you're in the corner?
Yeah, I'm saying because I like Al. Listen, he's a great guy.
Can we play fucking fantasy?
Al, you got to land some punches. I'd clap.
All right, listen. I'm not playing that game. This is what I want to talk about. I'm in fight mode.
Oh, yeah, sure.
This is going to be great, man. Give me Brad Katona's record. I want the world to know.
He's undefeated. I'm looking up. I think he's 8-0.
Really?
Double check. Yes.
Cool. I want to, you know, look at Marab in that fucking picture. Marab, first of all, he is a machine.
Yeah.
There's no more. I mean, just like Funk Man, our guys have fitting nicknames. Yeah. They really do. Yeah. Raging Al. See what that guy could do to a hotel room?
Yep.
Fucking, I'm like, already, you fucking laid out people. But that's a dual nickname. But fucking Raging Al, fucking Marab is a fucking machine. Funk Mass is funky as fuck. Go ahead. What are you saying?
Is that Marab's official nickname, the machine, or does he not have one? Because, I mean, he's
we call him that. Yeah, well, he is a fucking machine.
Sure.
How's Brad Katona? Is he known for cardio?
Yeah, I mean, he's just like a really well-rounded guy, a grappler, a good wrestler, you know. But he's well-rounded. I mean, he has cardio for sure. I mean, who has more cardio than Marab? Yeah,
like you said, Marab, his record does not speak of
how many he lost. I think he got screwed.
That's the ones he lost. But those are ones that he easily, I feel, should have won. You know what I mean? So, but you know, that's all in the past.
Yep.
I mean, he is. He's something, and you give him the toughest guy there is, and he's a guy that gets excited for that. He's not a guy that's like, oh man, let me build my record, let me get another. When I'm telling you, he gets. You just see it. He just smiles. He gets happy. He loves it. He fucking loves it. And Rage and Al's just they do everything right. They know they're getting ready for a battle, so it's not like, all right, maybe let's just concentrate on this little thing because this could be. No, they know they're going to be in a battle. They're prepared for a battle everywhere.
Right.
So it's so fucking exciting. And I know these guys are going to, they go in the fight. You know what I mean? There's, you can never be sure of an outcome, but you can be sure of what you got going into it.
That's a testament to you and Ray and your whole team, though, because I feel like your whole roster is that way.
Yeah,
like
it's them. They're the ones in there. I understand.
100%. But you're a well-rounded group. It's not like you guys are just one thing or the other. It's like you know that the fight could go anywhere, and you guys are always prepared for that.
We don't hang out with no bitches, man. Listen, if fucking my little bird Jimmy goes, I want to fight and be in the fight team. I go, Jimmy, I love you, man, but fuck no. You don't have to.
I would have some amazing advice. I would motivate the guys.
No, I'm talking about fighting for us.
No, I don't want to fight for anybody. I would rather just joke my way out of the cage.
Sure.
Look what we're going to have on the break.
Hey, can I say this, by the way? Some pretty big news.
Okay.
Well, oh, my God.
The audience doesn't know what I was saying.
No, your quinoa puffs are definitely more important in my world right now than what Chris. But I know Chris is good.
Go ahead, Chris.
Are you going to mention Brock retiring? Go ahead. You give it.
Oh, sure.
Is there anything worse than when someone cock blocks?
That was rough. Was that what you just said?
I was joking.
Is he retiring?
He is. Dana said to ESPN that Brock told him he's done, that he's retired. And now this is not official by the UFC, but this is reported by Dana and ESPN that DC and Stipe have verbally committed to fighting each other.
All right, let's address one at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, just... Brock, I can't wait for the second one. I'm so excited. But about Brock retiring, yes, he's a big, huge draw. Did he get popped for steroids?
Yeah, I believe he did.
But was it legit?
Against Mark Hunt, what was it?
That was a legit. That wasn't like a supplement or anything. That was a legit suspension.
I'm happy he's gone.
Okay.
and he should have never been able to fight again anyway. How about that? For the people out there saying, oh, you pick on TJ, why don't you say the John Jones? And no, listen, the guy's not cold busted. I mean, you know, that's a debate.
Yeah.
That's a debate.
Sure.
This is not. If Brock got popped, that's right. Why I remember when Mark Hunt's like, I don't blame Mark Hunt.
He was furious.
I don't blame him for being as upset as he was, you know? As another tough, chubby guy, I am with you, Mark Hunt. I am with you.
Yep.
You know, I don't like that shit with Brock Lesnar, man. I'm glad he's not fucking coming back.
I'll be honest.
I don't give a fuck. Fuck him.
I would much rather see Stipe and DC, just because I like Stipe so much.
Jimmy, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, because I'm getting annoyed. Brock Lesnar's a beast.
Yeah.
A beast. He could hurt. You don't think he can hurt somebody without steroids?
Absolutely.
You know what he could do to somebody? He could end somebody's life. Yeah. How dare him? And how dare everybody not make a big deal about it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. I just wanted to.
Agree with you. I'm very happy.
Why do we pick and choose on who should be fucking have that scarlet letter on him?
Yeah. Hey, I was never caring if he came back or not. I mean, look, I watch him when he fights. Sure, it's always he's such a big dude, and he did beat people again for whatever reason. But I would watch him. But I would much rather see DC fight Stipe or JDS.
They're
or
both
fucking
not
Curtis
cheaters,
Blades or well, Ngannou, anybody.
Well, first of all, I'm happy as heck.
Ooh, language.
Well, sometimes I got to go there. that Stipe is back, man. I miss Stipe.
And it proves he was smart to wait, too, because they might have said, look, Brock might not clear or Brock might in your net. And so yeah. I'm happy for Stipe, too.
I mean, and just to make me like him more, he did like a gi match the other day for charity.
Yeah. How'd he do?
He didn't get beat up or anything. He just lost on like a decision or something. That's like a judge's decision. But it wasn't, you know, the guy's nobody's gonna do nothing to him. But look at that. He puts a gi on, does that for
sure.
You know, he'd be a lot tougher with the gi off, I'm sure.
What,
but
what belt is he in jiu-jitsu?
I'm not sure. But he's an awesome human being, just like the champ is, just
and a
like
fireman.
DC. And a fireman. No, he's a hero.
He's a man's man. You
know, I was going to say, and credit, and you're right, credit to DC, because he said all along, if Brock's not there, it is Stipe that'll fight, and he wasted no time.
Immediately.
Not to contradict myself, because in the past, I was happy about the DC and Brock fight. I forgot about the whole steroid thing, but I'm like, wait, didn't he do that steroids? And I forget until somebody brings it up, but I was kind of just, what overshadowed that was more of the fact that I was kind of happy for DC, because I wanted him to get a payday, and I know he beat up Brock Lesnar. You know, Brock's kind of like a bully. Like, if he doesn't get beat up the guy, he's fucking. It's not
Brock's dangerous on the ground, though.
No, look, Brock. Well, first
very
of all,
very dangerous on
the
ground.
Wait, listen. Me saying the guy's a cheater and everything, he's not saying the guy's not dangerous.
Yeah,
the guy's an absolute beast.
Right.
His hands the size of Pete Dragosel's head. That's big.
Yeah, but it's big.
He's got a big head.
Yeah,
but
if he said a small guy, it wouldn't be very effective.
No, if I said his hands the size of Jimmy's little bird head,
he'd be like, oh, come on, those adorable
Jimmy.
Little hands. I do have a little bird head.
Bird.
Yes, I do.
I'm sorry.
That's a compliment. But, birds are marvelous creatures.
Listen, but he's so dangerous, and then you have to cheat. Ah.
Yeah.
You know, you're not hitting somebody with a fucking folding chair doing some bullshit. I mean, this is real, man. You're putting your elbow into somebody's face, and you're going to make yourself, you're already like a giant of it, like probably have giant's blood in you from fucking Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Why would you do something to make you stronger to cave somebody's fucking face in?
Now,
I don't know.
The
it's
opening,
so wrong.
I agree with you. The opening fight of this card. Now, do we have Cub Swanson fighting Shane Burgos?
Give me Shane Burgos. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
No,
you want
he's
his record? Shane Burgos.
Burgos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you give us his record, please, Shane Burgos?
Yeah, I'm double checking.
Last fight,
I think he's
lost
11,
one.
I think he's 11-1. Shane Burgos. Yeah, he got knocked out by Calvin Kattar.
Calvin Kattar's tough.
Very tough. And that,
sorry,
but that's it. Otherwise, he's.
Don't be sorry.
Hold on, guys.
You enjoy a puff. Give Daddy a puff. Daddy's gonna have a puff. That's all I want.
Oh my God!
So sad to watch.
You're good. Mm-hmm. Sorry, everybody. Go ahead. Back to business.
Shane Burgos is 11-1. Only lost to Calvin Kattar. Otherwise, he is 5-1 in the UFC.
He's been around.
And Cub's on a 3-fight losing streak. But I always think a guy like Cub is so, always dangerous. But when you catch a guy as good as he is, who's had as many fights as Cub, who's a veteran, 35 fights, that's a fucking dangerous guy. No, like, I think Ross Pearson lost 4 straight. It can happen.
Hold on now, guys. I want to hear about Shane Burgos' record and his last fight.
No. You know. No, I just said it.
No? You can cut it up if you want.
All right. He's 11 and
first one. First of all, fucking don't tell me no, asshole. You're the fucking producer. Right. If I want to fucking hear, I'm sorry. I know, but you know what happened, though? What? I went somewhere. In my head.
I know. You went with your head.
Head.
Your puffs.
Where'd you go?
I went into like I was running through a field of fluffy cheese puffs, and yes. I was eating them when I was running like this in my head. That's how good those puffs were, Jimmy. And then when I came back, I heard him going in and burgers, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and he sounded like a Charlie Brown cartoon.
The teacher, yes.
All right, let's get right. back to it now, guys.
Shane Burgos, 11-1.
No, he did lose.
Who did he lose to?
Calvin Kattar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was saying that, you know, again, 12 fights.
We're going to cut this up so that never happens. The last three minutes. Because I just said how tough Calvin Kattar is. Then we said who we lost to.
And we keep referencing these Cheetos. We have to leave the whole thing unedited, I think. Well, and then when you were off, basically, Matt was in a fucking a Cheeto daze.
I was in a Cheeto.
And then
Cheeto.
He came back.
You see what happened?
And Chris was like, I just said that. And Matt's like, and then
I go, can you say it again? And he goes, no. Absolutely
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to see if you would be able to. Like, I know you heard it, but you just weren't listening.
It was there. It went in. Yeah.
It looks like Walt Harris is fighting somebody mysterious.
Yes. He is fighting Sergey Spivak.
Okay. Yep.
Why'd I say that, Jimmy?
Why did you say what?
That he's mysterious.
Well, these are new
because
guys.
There's no picture of him. And
that's
also
what I'm saying. I can't see him. It's like he's fighting like somebody in the shadow.
Andrew Sanchez against Marc-Andre Barrio. I mean, I don't know who wins that fight. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
How long ago was that Calvin Kattar fight? That was his last fight?
No, his last fight was a armbar submission over Kurt Hullabaugh in November 3rd. Before the loss to Calvin Kattar was January 20th, 2018. So
I'm sorry, I apologize. No, go ahead. Let's say Marc-Andre Barrio. Let's start going over these. I don't know why am I pushing for picks when the last week was such a disaster.
And how old is that kid though? It was a disaster. It was a fucking bloodbath. Not really. I suck too.
Who can?
Shane. What
Shane's 28.
Oh, so you're still on that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to know. Because when is Cub calling?
4 minutes. Oh, 4 minutes.
Right.
We'll give him a call.
You know.
But we could start doing
Let's start the picks with Sanchez. This is a middleweight fight against Marc-Andre Barrio. Now, I'm going to guess that Marc-Andre Barrio is from Canada.
He is. He's Canadian. A lot of the guys that are making their debut
of course, are
Canadian.
Canadian fighters. Canada has these weird rules. You have to use X amount of Canadians and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's why. I mean, not even in the fights, in the movies. You know, we do Canadian TV. Because they don't want to just, like, when you're above the United States where Hollywood is, you probably don't want all of your actors and all of your talent and your performers and your musicians just run the fuck over.
Is reefer legal out there?
Yes.
It is.
I think 100%. You can even bring it on planes. But it doesn't matter. You don't do it.
No, listen to me. I got arthritis, man. If I feel old when I say I got arthritis in my knees.
Well, you're fighting. I would have it in my knees for different reasons. At least from you, it's from fighting.
It's called wear and Jimmy. What? It's a little wear and tear on my knees.
Yeah, from fighting and from.
But it's weird, man, because it's not like, all right, like when is it going to get better?
It's not.
Is it getting fucking
no, it's not.
Jimmy, I. So that's it? I'm going to be walking around like Kaiser Soze?
Take a vacation. Yeah, you walk around like Kaiser Soze. As long as you don't act like I'm in your personal life.
I got it. Do you think, hold on. Did anybody ever here do acupuncture?
I have.
Do you think it'll bring blood to my knees or some shit?
It might. You know, I did it for, I wanted my erections to be firmer. It's true. Years ago, I tried it.
So wait, you did that shit? You put the, wait, hold on.
No, because it goes in different areas. No, not your penis. It goes in different areas.
Where?
Did I have one on my penis? I don't think I might have.
The fucking quote of the day right there.
No, you lived that really interesting life, and you're like, I don't know if I had a needle in my penis.
No, they put them everywhere. They put them in between your toes, put them on the bridge of your nose.
Fuck that. But what
under
about
my
knees?
Fingernail, like
what
right there.
Ah, stop it, Jimmy.
No, on top of the nail.
Stop it, Jimmy. Asshole.
It doesn't hurt that much, though. It's like a little pinch.
Where can I do that? Where can I see that video that you sent me, that I sent you yesterday?
I'll show it to you off air. I don't want to tell people what it is. I'll tell them next week. Matt sent me a video. I don't want to say what he was doing.
That's weird. People can be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, let them think.
They'll tune in.
They'll download the next one.
Oh, yeah.
To hear what we've been doing in our private lives. Now, what is Marc-Andre Barrio's record? What's Sanchez's record? Let's figure this first fight out. The opening fight of the main card this Saturday night from Ottawa.
Yep, this is on ESPN Plus at 8 p.m. Eastern. Let's do this pick, and then we'll call Cub.
Yes.
Marc-Andre Barrio is 11-1. This is his UFC debut.
Yep.
And he's won, you know, eight fights in a row here.
Okay.
He won his last fight, first round knockout over Adam Hunter.
Okay. Now, how about Andrew Sanchez?
Andrew Sanchez is 10-4. He's coming off a unanimous decision win over Marcus Perez in his last fight. That was August 2018.
Who did he fight before that?
He got knocked out by Ryan James in the third round. That was the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Okay. So basically, he's a little newer as well.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's definitely got more, you know, experience in the UFC. He was on the Ultimate Fighter, so, and he got knocked out by Anthony Smith. Actually, that's his other.
Oh, okay. So. Well, that's a very tough one to call. I'm not as familiar with either guy. You know, Andre Barrio coming in 11-1. Is it 11-1? I'm sorry.
Yeah, 11-1. Yeah.
You know, same record as Shane Burgos. But your first UFC fight, does he have the jitters? He's the opening fight on the card in his hometown, or does that propel him?
Second round stoppage, Mark and Andre. Holla.
Wow.
Sometimes I do. The crowd could motivate you, man. And the guy's got that streak underneath him. And I think he's going to fucking... how many knockouts does he have in his thing there? How many stoppages?
It doesn't say it all in a row, but let's say 1, 2, 3. I mean, he's got maybe 5, 6. I'm just like looking at it
real
quick. Yep.
Good enough.
I'm going to take... I'm also going to take Mark Andre Barrio because this is his first fight.
You're going to say decision. I know you.
I'm going to say decision.
All right.
Just because I don't want to pick the same thing you picked.
Well, sometimes, you know... Just like when I went with
first
those,
round knockout, Marc Andre Barrio.
Just like I went
Matt's
with
Matt's not going to bully me.
Coconut, hate coconut chocolate balls.
Goddamn good.
Well, I mean, I took a risk.
You did.
And I'm not taking a risk here, but I'm going out there. You know why? I don't want to see a decision. I want to see a stoppage.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Not that I want to see anybody hurt. I just want
to
see,
a stoppage. Yeah, everyone likes fucking. The knockout is like Brunson.
Everyone likes fucking?
Yes, that's also true. But I mean, the knockout is. And I didn't ask Derek this, but Matt, you've done it. The feeling, like, is there any more powerful feeling than when you hit another man and they're unconscious? Like, there's probably not much more of a feeling of domination you can have than putting a guy on the canvas.
Yeah, it can get addicting because especially when you do it more than once, you know?
Yeah.
And then you know you got power, like you get like, yo, if I just land that one shot.
Yeah.
That guy can really get hurt.
I don't have to tire myself out.
You know, but the problem is when you're just looking for that one shot. So when you just let shit fly and it lands, like sometimes you really just remember how it feels when it connects. Because it doesn't feel like stiff.
Right.
Like some of those punches, I don't even remember hitting George Wade. I was just throwing. Like I remember throwing, but it's not like they were stiff. It's almost like you clinch your fist at the last second. Like, you know what I mean? It's more relaxed.
Like a looser. Oh.
Well, it's loose in the last second. Ah. And you just throw in your shoulders and your hips. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, I don't know how to do that. We were watching Tyson punch recently. You see that video on the Mike's?
That's a different level than everything.
No. But did you see the video of him in the bar at age 51?
Oh, yeah, showing some fights.
Boom, boom. Like just showing those how fast he is.
Well, I mean, that was his was his schooling from a child.
But like, using your legs in a punch.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Cooney tried to show me how to throw a punch. Jerry Cooney could knock out a fucking building. Like, he had a tremendous left. And he was showing me how to throw a punch and how to put your body.
100%.
I just can't do it. For me, it's like an arm punch.
Arm punch is horrible. It's hip. Yeah. It's just basically, you're not ever extending. You know what I mean? Your head's not going over your knee. You know what I mean? It's all hips and shoulders where you're turning, you know? That's what I like.
Yeah, I wish I knew how to throw like a legit punch, but I don't.
What the hell were we just talking about?
Marc-Andre Barrio, yes! Andrew Sanchez, and then we got Walt Harris against Sergey Spivak. Or Spivak, I don't know how to say his last name.
Yeah, I think it's Spivak. I'm just getting Cub on the phone right now, by the way. And I'm going to take Andrew Sanchez by decision.
Okay, yeah, you do that.
Copycat.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's going against both of us. I got first round, you got second round, he's got decision.
So, you know, you said Cub's on a 3-5.
I believe we have Cub Swanson on the telephone. Let's see. Hey, do we have Cub?
Yes.
Hey, buddy, you're talking to Matt Serra and Jim Norton. How you doing?
What's up, Cub?
How's it going, guys?
Come on, man.
We're doing okay. We were saying before the fight, too. I mean, you know you're fighting, Shane Burgos is really tough. He's only got one loss. But, you know, a guy like yourself who's a veteran and has seen there's nothing a guy's going to throw at you that you haven't seen before. So how are you mentally doing right now? You've had a couple losses in a row. And how is your mentality and how is it affecting you?
Which part? The losses?
Yes. Like, does it start to play on you? Will you start to doubt yourself? Or how do you handle that?
You just have to make sure you're looking at each fight individually, first of all. Because it's not like a mentality thing, you know? It's like I'm facing the top guys,
right.
You know, and I didn't get the wins in the last three. So that's about as much of a streak as it is. But I changed some things going into this camp that I wanted to change in the last fight. And, you know, that was most of the preparation, trying to be a little bit faster than working more than power. And then I did try to focus on having some time to myself since I have little kids running around now. So I spent half the time at my house in Indio and half the time in Orange County.
And you were training, I guess, alongside TJ. And when something like that happens, how does it affect the team or the gym in general? When such a high profile guy, you know, is out for 2 years, what's the mentality of the gym or of you guys? You know, do you talk about it?
I mean,
do you sit down?
Was pretty shocked. I think people were trying to portray the fact that. It was something we were all in on, and it wasn't. Everybody was very surprised. And then we just kind of moved on from it. TJ, you know, he takes off for a long time in between his fights. You know, when he was the champ, they had him doing all kinds of stuff and then go on vacation and all that. So it's not like he was around a lot at that time. And then I had been training a little bit more on my own and doing smaller sessions to really get the most out of it. So other than the initial shock of it, it didn't really play too much a role into my camp or with the rest of the team.
And I'm looking over your fights. I mean, you literally have fought everyone. The absolute best, you fought all of them.
Well, yeah, that's why I got to fight these new up-and-comers, you know, and you know, people don't really want to see the rematches and stuff like that. So if it's not a top guy, then let's see what these young guys are made of.
Right. And the young guys coming up, like in the light heavyweight division, Johnny Walker is a guy that even higher ranked guys will fight because he's an exciting young fighter. And who, Zabit Magomedsharipov, a lot of guys will fight him because he's just such an exciting fighter. And, you know, that's kind of how it is with Burgos. Even though you're higher than him, it's still an exciting fight to watch. And it's not a disadvantage for you to fight him.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him, and there's a couple other guys that right when they came on scene, I was like, damn, okay, I like this kid's heart. You know, he's got some skills. Hopefully I'll fight him down the road. And, you know, here we are.
Well, doesn't it excite you? I mean, listen, prior to this... you know, a couple of tough fights we've had. I mean, again, with Frank Yeager, Brian Ortega, all, again, the top of the top. I mean, you were on a four-fight winning streak before we hit a little bit of a slid. And like I was just talking earlier with Derek Brunson, every fight is a new chance of just putting yourself right back in the mix. This, by you fighting this young kid who only has one loss, like Jimmy likes to say, you know, you'll take all his smoke, man. You're right back in the mix, cub. Right? Does it gas you up? Like the fact that you're fighting a kid with some smoke?
Of course. I mean, I think you look at Anthony Pettis.
Yes. I mean, yes.
People were writing him off for a while now, you know, and that last win just
huge.
Put him on the map, you know, and like, whoa, okay, multi divisions, you know, he can do whatever he wants. So. I'm looking for that. I'm looking to go just have a great performance, and that's kind of what I have to narrow it down to. I'm not thinking about title fights or thinking about who's next. I have this fight in front of me, and I have to go out there and do work, and that's on my mind.
And everybody loves Frankie Edgar. I mean, I don't think there's a fighter we've ever talked to who doesn't respect him. He's kind of lobbying to be the next one to fight Max. What do you think? I would love to see him get that shot, especially after Max was unable, and then he fought Ortega, and kind of, you know, it took a huge shot, and then Ortega got the shot after that. So how do you feel about that, Frankie getting that next shot at Max Holloway?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people thought that was going to be a tough fight for Max, you know, Frankie style. Maybe that's the kind of guy that can beat him, a guy that can, you know, close the gap, take him down, beat him up on the ground. So, you know, nobody's really taken Max down in a very long time. So I think that is a good fight to make. I think there is some other guys that are the Volkanovski. Who else is there? Trying to think of the guy's name. that there's some top guys coming up that, you know, have a shot. But if we had to say right now, I'd have to say Frankie.
Yair is fun to watch. Everybody likes watching him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think he's getting a title shot anytime soon. Josh Emmett, Jeremy Stephen. There's so many good fighters, you know, in that top 12.
Mm-hmm.
Does it affect you too? And Matt mentioned Derek Brunson. We asked Brunson this as well because you've been around for so long. All these fighters, these young guys coming up, all watched you. Like, you're the guy that probably inspired half of them to fight, and they have probably in a way had their eye on fighting you. Does that make it a little harder for you when you know that they've been watching your style for 35 fights and they have been planning for the day they get to fight you, whereas with you, you're like, all right, now I have to fight this guy, so let me look up and study some of his tape?
No, I think it's more of an advantage for me because, I mean, at the end of the day, once they close the octagon door, it's just me and that person, and they could have thought about it in their head a million times, but once you're across from them and they, you know, they got to have that, you know, oh shit moment, you know, and I don't think I'm somebody that they get excited about fighting. It's, there's somebody right. that once that door gets locked, they're going to be like, all right, I hope I trained hard for this, you know, so that's pressure on them.
Did you think you would be fighting almost 15 years later when you first started? Did you think that your career would go this long?
No, I honestly didn't. It's been kind of a trip to think that I turned pro at 20 and this is all I've known for 15 years. So, but it's something that I truly enjoy. I truly love being in the gym training, especially now that I have kids. It gives me a lot of time to be at home, just kind of lounge around with them and then go, okay, Dad's got to go to the gym. And put in the work. So it's a job that I love and that I'm willing to fight for. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
Did you have a job before this? Because there are guys, it's like their only professional job. Or did you have a job when you were 17, 18?
Yeah. I only had one job pretty much before I was fighting, and it was I worked before I could do this full time. I was working for United Cerebral Palsy, and I was working with kids with disabilities in an after-school program.
What made you do that? Was that just the job, or was there somebody close to you that kind of inspired you to do that?
My youngest sister has Down syndrome, and so I grew up being around her, and just, you know, she's like always in a good mood. She just, you know, kind of puts a smile on your face. No. So. Just being around her led me to being around the company that had cerebral palsy, and so it led me to doing that job and me having a lot of patients. So that was a fun experience I did for about four years.
Yeah, it does require a lot of patience, though. It seems like definitely a difficult job, which at times can be very tough.
Yeah, I mean. You have to understand that you're dealing with people that they just don't understand, and you have to be very patient and you know, kind of tell them the same thing every day and try to like build that structure. So it definitely taught me some lessons into the fight game, and I really appreciated my time there.
Yeah, the frustration is probably too when you're telling somebody Tuesday and then you tell them Wednesday. It's like, you have to realize you're talking to somebody who's not grasping it the way you are, as opposed to, I told you yesterday, you know, and I guess that's where the patient comes in.
Yeah. I mean, and the toughest kids to deal with probably were with kids with autism, you know, and they look like a typical kid, and they're just, you know, their brain just a little bit different. But it was pretty cool to see the way that their brain is more developed in another area, maybe like this little kid used to. Every day he would, you know, throw four puzzles on the floor, and he would do all four puzzles at the same time, just out of memory. And they weren't like super hard puzzles, but he could just do that. But then having a simple conversation was extremely difficult. So it was interesting to see how, you know, one part of the brain will be underdeveloped and the other part of the brain will be overdeveloped.
Yeah, a lot of people with autism, they like they're prodigies in other areas. And then you look at other people, like you like Bobby Fischer, one of the greatest chess players in history, and you see the way he acted. You're like, I wonder, because it wasn't as talked about back then, if maybe that he had a little bit of that, and it made him a chess genius, but very, very difficult in other situations.
Yeah, I mean, I strongly believe that. I still have noticed people in my everyday life that I can see that their people skills are very off, and people just kind of see them as strange people, but then they're brilliant in another area, and you kind of have to understand, okay, well, maybe they're just, you know, they're underdeveloped in this area that most people, it comes natural to them, but this other part of their brain is just so overdeveloped, they're on another level. So you have to be able to look at it and say, okay, I see the balance there.
Well, Cub, it's always always good talking to you, and we really appreciate you calling in. And you're fighting Shane Burgos on the main card. It's the UFC on ESPN Plus, Cowboy Iaquinta. Great, great card to be on, too.
Sure.
There's a couple of amazing fights, including yours. You're fighting an up-and-coming, really tough fighter. So good luck, man. We always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, Cub. All the best.
Thank you. And may the 4th be with us.
All right. Oh, fuck yeah. You bring up the Star Wars now.
Take care, buddy.
Oh, the 4th. I love it.
It's only May the 1st, but by the time this comes out, it's May the 2nd. So we're 2 days off. All right. See you, buddy.
I love it.
All right. See you.
Later, buddy. I wonder if he's a Star Wars fan. I would have that would have brought us right back into it.
Maybe.
Over.
I'm always interested.
Can't throw that shit at us now with the 4th.
I always like
The Mandalorian? Coming out in November?
I like the fighters. I'm always interested in the other stuff in their life, too. It's always like so many guys, you wouldn't think that a guy who's, you know, for 35 MMA fights, the job he had before was working with people with disability. You know, you just...
Right. It's fun. Like they got the Rain Man stuff sometimes going on.
Well, that's what, Rain Man was like.
I would have field trips to like Mohegan Sun just to see if those kids could win at the black guy
table. The black guy table. Yeah.
Anyway, I fucked up.
But
my
there
joke
are people that can do that.
I know.
They just count like that. Yeah. I'm not good at any of that stuff.
I'm not good at anything, Jimmy.
Yeah. I was porn. I'm a porn prodigy. I know how to watch it. He can watch 10 different films at the same time.
Does it make you a better lover? Does it?
No, it doesn't.
A more deviant one?
No, because my penis panics when other people are in the room. It's like, hey, I'm used to it just being us in the screen. What are you doing? Who's that?
That is funny.
Oh, I completely panic. I suck, Matt.
Yeah.
So let's go back to our picks now.
Okay.
We picked the second fight up, of course, Walt Harris against Sergey Spivak. Is that correct?
I think it's Sergey Spivak, but yeah.
What's his record?
He's 9-0. He's also making his UFC debut.
Has he won?
His last fight was a neck crank in the first round. He beat Tony Lopez.
Fight before that?
Tony Lopez!
He knocked his opponent out before that, and then a rear naked choke before that.
Okay,
how many fights in the UFC?
This is his debut.
First.
Oh, Walt Harris.
I'm pulling it up.
I know he lost. I remember he lost very quickly to Verdum.
Yeah, but Verdum is...
He did. He got submitted. That was like he stepped in, I think,
last minute,
he
absolutely did,
So we'll start from there. So he got submitted by Verdum.
Yes.
He... landed an illegal head kick to Mark Godbeer at UFC 217. Right. He was winning that fight, though.
Yep.
Okay. And then he knocked out Daniel Spitz. And he did win a split decision over Andre Arlovsky, but it was overturned after he tested positive for something that he ended up getting suspended 4 months for. It was a tainted supplement thing.
Okay.
But third round stoppage. Walt Harris, TK on the flea. He's going to take him down and ground and pound him.
Harris in the third, you said?
What?
Third Harrison. Round?
Yes.
Okay. Sergey Spivak. Second round submission, because I think he's a submission guy.
Oh,
that's why I was asking.
Second round, Jimmy.
Won.
I'm sorry.
Second round submission.
I'm going to take Walt Harris second round knockout.
Okay.
I think that UFC jitters debut fight. It's real. That's why I went with Andrew Sanchez too.
Yeah. What is Brad Katona's record? I know Marab, you said, has lost two, I think, right?
Marab's 8-4 overall, but he's got two losses in the UFC.
Cool.
Could, you know, close losses, yep.
I'm going to give my... I'm going to Marab. I'll tell you how afterwards.
Definitely. And Brad Katona's 8-0.
All right, Matt, you're not going to like this.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to take a Marab by decision.
About to fucking strangle you.
No, I really am.
Love Marab, man. What a fucking warrior.
You going, Rob?
So be awkward if I went against him.
No, yeah.
Of course I am. I'll tell you how afterwards.
Yes, I'll write it down. I'm also going to go with Marab by decision. I think, I think it's Katona's an extremely tough guy. Obviously, he's never lost, but I think Think Marab's gonna
what's the matter?
The last thing you want to do. The last thing you want. They could all fight a guy who's got knockout power, but the last thing you want to fight a guy is who's known for his cardio.
Oh yeah,
that just seems like a nightmare,
dude. I jumped on the guy for 3 minutes the other day. I'm still having nightmares. Fucking Marab.
Well, it's like in between rounds, before the fight, he just never stops moving the whole time. He's great.
Why are you? Is something on me?
No.
What is going on?
I've been taking probiotics.
Are you farting?
Little one snuck out.
What? Stop it, because my head's leaning that way. Jimmy, do you smell it already?
Matt, it's bounced off the wall and come back and hit me in the mouth.
Fuck, Jimmy, fuck, man.
I didn't want to say it.
I wanted to eat my quinoa puffs after this.
You should
this.
Have them now. They smell
no,
the same.
No, fuck that. The aged cheddar. All right, guys, go ahead.
I have a quinoa puff.
So let's go. What's up? You know what? I believe in Swanson. Hey, I think he's going to win this fight. I believe in Swanson. Stop staring at me.
Well, I'm enjoying it.
You want me to sing some more?
Not in a moment. Let me do my pick first.
What?
Hold on. You're going to pick Swanson.
I believe in Swanson. Yep. I believe he's going to win this fight. What?
How?
You know, this is how. I know you're looking at Shane Burgos and being like, yo, this guy's dangerous, man. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let me bring up a little Calvin Cater.
Cater, yep.
Let's call the whole thing off. Listen, I'm going with Cub Swanson by submission.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to go by. I know it sounds...
What round?
Jimmy, can I lead up to...
Sorry, Matt, you're right. I stand correct. I apologize.
No, Jimmy, I can't stay mad at you.
No, I apologize.
Give me a high five.
Not why I didn't rush.
So everybody hears it. No, Jimmy, that was the worst.
I lost my ass.
One more time, Jimmy.
Ooh, right,
that was a fun one.
Spanking Dad.
I'm going to say Cub Swanson. Dude, he's got to make a statement. I think he's training hard, man. He's got mouths to feed, man.
Mm-hmm.
Submission, second round.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to be a copycatter, but I also have to go with a second round submission.
You're going to say Cub in the second
round. Cub in the second round. Yeah, Shane's very dangerous, but I think Cub, having lost three straight, a guy like that is just a veteran like that is dangerous.
I agree. I'm a big fan of Cub. I think this is a pretty big step up in competition for Shane Burgos. I'm going to take Cub by third round stoppage.
Now, what is Elias Theodoro's record?
Elias Theodoro is 16-2. And I think he's won three in a row. I got
to
double check.
See, now this one, I like Derek Brown. First of all, like has nothing to do with it.
No, nothing to do with it.
But I like Derek Brunson a lot.
If I like somebody, Elias. I shouldn't pick him because I suck.
I'm not great at picks either. But Elias Theodoro, I actually have some history with. The guy's been at my school before. Sure. You know, he's trained over at Weidman's. Oh, my knee hurts. Fucking pussy. So it's like, you know, I kind of sometimes, if it is a scale like that, I kind of go with my heart a little bit. But even with my head, I feel Elias, it is true. He is an enigma. Look at idiot Jimmy, I'm sorry. He's an enigma. He's hard to figure out.
He is.
My fucking mic.
Yeah, rangy, a lot of movement.
You know, he's good at not getting hit, landing. He mixes in the takedowns well. I'm going to say Elias by decision.
Yep.
I'm going to say Elias Theodoro by a third round stoppage.
Well, now you're getting nutty.
Stoppage.
No, don't get me wrong. It's not that he's not able. Oh, man.
I liked what I heard from Brunson. I liked that he's training at Hard Knocks 365, yep. Henry Hooft and all those guys.
Hooft!
I still think in the heat of a fight, Brunson tends to get a little wild. You know what I mean? And I think that's going to be the difference in the fight. I think Elias is going to end up winning this by decision. He stays out of the way of getting hit
a
lot.
Of course.
He'll land a little more.
I could also see Brunson knocking him out in the first round. Like, you know, Brunson, because of that, his left is a big fuck.
That's the other way I would do it. I think if Brunson wins, it's a first round knockout. But I'm going to take Elias by decision.
Okay. Now,
Raging Al.
Raging Al.
I'll go with Raging Al.
Cerrone. This is a good fight. Now, Al obviously is going to look, I think, to punch and to knock him out. I'm going to take Al by decision. And the reason I think it's going to go to decision is because Cowboy is such a smart fighter. He's got, his legs are great weapons. He's going to know how to keep some distance. And he's also great on the ground. So if he gets hurt, I think that he is going to be very, very quick to try to either take Al down or hold him up against the, he's a smart fighter.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Al's going to knock him out, but I'm going to say Al by decision.
I'll tell you my decision after.
Yeah, we'll get your pick after. You know. I'm, of course, going to take Raging Al. I'm taking Raging Al by fourth round stoppage. I think, Cowboy cuts a lot of weight to get down to 155.
You know what? I didn't even think of the weight cut.
We've talked about it before. That's the wrong guy to be standing in front of if you even get a little bit tired. We always see Al won the fifth round against Kevin Lee impressively.
You're right, yep.
I think Al's going to push the pace. By this time, I think he's going to get a stop in the fourth round.
Chris, I forgot about the weight cut.
Yep.
What is Cowboy doing at this weight? Isn't he almost a little better than 500 at this weight? Or was that when he went up?
That was when he went up. I mean, he's got a very good record at lightweight. It's not like it's a foregone conclusion, but I just think that if there's any bit of tiredness that's going to happen in the fight, I think Al's going to take full advantage of that.
Did you hear me crunching?
No.
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Oh, is that what you were doing?
No.
Oh.
No.
I thought you were breaking someone's arm. Okay, so I'm still going to stick with Al by decision because I forgot. Yeah, Cowboy is just the fight.
Good.
All right, cool, man. I'm very excited for this weekend's fight.
I am too. And no, Matt, I really can't, but thank you. I'll have one. God damn it. I'm gonna tinkle.
Me too.
Sure, and then we got Glover.
I love Glover.
Talk about his victory over Matt Serra. After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Clay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
We are back.
Oh!
And I literally can feel my stomach. I'm on my back and I can still feel it hanging over my belt. Man, I cannot eat anymore. I ate 1,000 calories worth of chocolate. I want Joe Rogan to sidekick me in the stomach.
Why, Jimmy?
Oh my God, I suck.
Come out, man?
Oh my God, what am I doing?
Jimmy, I'm going to Canada.
I'm really fattening up. Jimmy, are you flying Air Canada? That's a great airline.
Going to Canada.
When's your flight?
I don't know. Tomorrow. You know?
Are you not going tonight?
No. No, I'm not. You know? But, Longo is. You know? Glover who?
Glover DeShera.
DeShera.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a friend of his.
Yes, you are.
I like Glover. Thanos liked our pitcher. And so did Mark Consuelos.
Oh, hey, Glover, how are you?
So did Mark Consuelos. You know who that is?
We hollered at Glover.
No, no answer on Glover.
You know who Mark Consuelos is?
Yes, I do. I talked to him and Kelly.
Oh, there you go.
At an event one time, they had seen something. I didn't like it.
So my wife is a big fan of Kelly Ripa.
Yeah, I love Kelly
Ripa.
So
I go, the husband likes me. He likes my stuff sometimes, I say. And I know the guy. I went out to dinner with the guy before. And
Mark?
His production team.
He's in the best shape of any human alive.
He's such a nice guy, man. What a nice guy. I like that guy.
Very nice. They're both very pleasant. They're both like physical fitness fucking animals, Kelly and
me,
Mark.
Like me and you.
Yes, except you're a bull and I'm a turtle. I'm a fat-bellied turtle.
A turd. No, I was going to say, Jimmy.
I'm not a turd.
You're not a turd. No. I mean, but that's how it sounds.
I'm a turtle.
You're a bull. I'm a turd. Yeah. You're not a Jimmy.
No. You're friends with Mark Ripper? I'm Fart Ripper. I meant to say Chip Kelly podcast. Ripper.
Chip starting early today.
That bombed. Here's why that sucked. Hold on. I meant to say Kelly Ripper, and I was thinking of Mark Consuelos.
Right.
I said Mark Ripper. I'm Fart Ripper. And you know what?
I didn't even know what
that's
say.
Not getting cut out.
No.
It's got to stay.
I really wish it was. It hurts you to say it's not getting cut out.
I have to say it. Because if you bombed, I'd want it left in. Let me just, in for 1 second. Let me just, while you're getting Glover on the phone, take your time. There's really no rush at all. Oh, my
Are you
God.
Upset with your joke? You're what, a comedian.
Joke? What joke did you hear? I didn't hear anything that was a joke. I didn't hear anything that was a joke.
You had a comedy special or two.
Was that what they were? Well, this was a TED Talk. What a fucking terrible bomb. Fart Ripper.
I've been
doing stand-up since 1990, and the part of me thought that would be funny to say. What a fucking
shit bag. Isn't that amazing? You say funny shit constantly, and then that just comes out sometimes.
That comes out, and it's not only is it almost funny, it's so far removed from being funny. It's like
funny.
No one can even see that there was a humor attempt.
It's not funny, Jimmy.
It was terrible.
It reminds me of a lot of my jokes.
Fart Ripper, and I said Mark Ripper, who doesn't exist.
That's why I looked.
I mean,
at, you
at least I didn't say Jackta.
I thought maybe I missed it.
That would have been better. Actually,
Jackta would have been better. Yeah, Kelly Ripper, Mark Consuelos. I put their names together incorrectly. That bombed. My joke bombed.
More attention to the joke.
I can't not though. It was. I don't want people hearing that and going like, ugh. Let them know that I understand,
what my sins. Not good, Jimmy.
Yeah,
we got Glover now.
Oh, hello, awesome. Glover. How are you?
Hey, how are you, man?
You're talking to Jim Norton and, of course, your friend, the great Matt Serra.
What's up, Glover?
Hey, Matt Serra. How are you, man?
Congrats. Let me tell you, buddy, I was so happy for you the other night. What an amazing fight. And I could tell you were on cloud nine after that fight. You were so happy.
Oh, I was very happy, man. It was, when you work with your strategy and, you know what's going to happen, you know, and that actually happened. It's like, whoa, that really, like, you knew he was going to come and bring the heat in the first round. I knew he was going to get tired and slower in the second or third round, you know?
Now, listen, Glover, I don't want to make this about you. You're talking about when you know what's going to happen, that, you know, you feel confident. I also was confident in my pick in this fight, and I picked you by second round submission. I picked you by second round submission, my friend. And look at that. I told that to Dana, and I'll tell you, you know what's great about it, Glover? It was like a movie, because this young stud, Iwan. And now listen, I don't know if they show. I watched it, you know, I had great seats, you know, I was right there with Dana. I don't know if they showed it I'm sure they did on the TV. He walked across the cage when Bruce Buffer was announcing his name, and he was almost, put it on for Jimmy. Watch this, Jimmy. We're playing it now. He was almost nose to nose with you. Look at this, Jimmy. Yeah. Watch. We're watching it right now. Yeah. He walks up. He does the neck sign, and you said, not today. Is that what you said?
Yeah, not today, my friend. Not today.
I just saw that just now.
How That's a Game of Thrones thing.
How cool that was! How cool was Glover in that clip?
Yeah.
Did you just see that?
Yeah.
Glover, I saw it live. Man. Go ahead.
I don't even watch Game of Thrones, man. I swear to God. You know, I saw this with the kids in the gym. You know, I have my gym right now, and I love the most is to be there. And I don't teach most of the kids, but I'm there with them. You know, they love me when I come down goofing around, you know, play a game, whatever. So after the class, they all come and arm wrestle me, you know, they arm wrestle me. And that's what I say to them. I say, not today, and I beat them in arm wrestling, and you know, man, it's so funny because all the kids in the next day is like, "Paul Glover, you say not today." That's so funny. Oh, man.
Glover, that was I literally just, this is the first time I seen this view of it, because I seen I was behind you. So I saw her walk up in your face. I didn't see how you handled it. I go, oh, man, Glover is a lot calmer than me. I mean, what poise. You were able to control yourself. Not only did you control yourself, like a cool mother effer, you're sitting there, not today. Jimmy, that is out of Game of Thrones type of shit.
It's very awesome. Well, again, that's somebody who's been in 36 fights. Nothing throws you after a while. There's nothing a guy is going to do to you in the cage that you haven't seen before.
Yeah, that, you know, that counts a lot, man. That counts a lot.
Can I? Were you surprised, Glover, that he got so close to you? Like, aren't they supposed to stop a guy from walking right up to you?
I think, no, the, you know, the referee, like, tell us, you know, the instructor before the fight, and the referee, like, pretty much say, like, you know, your opponent, you know, his style, he will cross the cage and go this to you. I don't want anybody touching or pushing, so respect, you know, the promotion, whatever. And, you know, as you walk, I didn't, you know, of course I didn't push him, but I just told him, hey, man, not today, my friend.
That was so great. Yeah. And we don't even have, you see in them, your mouth, we've seen you word it, like we couldn't even hear it right there, but that was so amazing. But it led to the drama of the fight. Because not only that, then he hits you with that back fist. And believe me, I know your pain with that shit. I got back fist before in my day. So I seen you take that hit, and that adds to more drama because this is a powerful kid coming after you. So for you to survive it and then to see you start coming back and then take him down, it was just so exciting, man.
Yeah, it's all those things, man. You know, you just got to be careful with those guys. It's one punch, I mean, especially in our weight class, you know, one punch, he can, any weight class pretty much, but, you know, heavier the guys, the dangerous it is for one punch knockout. So all you gotta, you know, be careful, be alert all the time, but, I mean, that spinning kick, I mean, Hennessy actually buckled me a little bit, but I was able to see things, you know, and rely on my jiu-jitsu and the wrestling. So, you know, man, I just feel so comfortable in a fight right now. Like, one, of course, experience is gonna help a lot. But just the fact that I, you know, I'm very confident in the ground or stand up. Either way, you know, I just feel too comfortable anywhere that I go, you know.
And also, this did tie you for the most submissions in the UFC light heavyweight. You and John Jones are tied. That meant something to you, didn't it?
Yes, of course, man. You know, you're one of the top guys with the most submission. It just it's a lot for me because, you know, I'm Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and I like to keep that flag, you know, and I say honor the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know. And MMA, so I like that.
Now, let me ask you, I've heard about legendary training sessions with yourself and Chuck Liddell under the watchful eye of legendary trainer John Hackelman. How did you get hooked up back in the day with John, to get hooked up with John Hackelman?
I fought one of his guys in the beginning, in my first fight, man. My first professional fight, I fought one of John Hackelman's guys. It was one of training partner with Chuck. You know, he's wrestled with Chuck, Kyle Pauly.
Eric Schwartz.
Eric Schwartz, okay. Exactly. You know who he is, right?
I do funny not. No, I just read this off the show. I would love to take credit and sound smart, but I just read it.
Funny guy, man. You know, they're like one of the coolest guys. It's like you're hanging out with Matt Serra and Hansel Gracie. You know, I love those guys. That's why I went to Matt Serra there and give him a hug, man. This guy's like... Just the vibe, you're those the guys in hands are great the same way, you know. You hanging out with one of those guys is different. But anyway, Eric, I fought Eric and John right after that. He called one of my friends that hooked me up with a fight and say, hey, I wanna help Glover. I think I can help him. He show a lot of heart, man. And I think with the train with us, it's going to help him a lot. So when my friend told me that, I was like, hey, book my next flight. I want to go. I want to see.
And when was that? How long ago, Glover?
That was 2002 at my first fight, right? Wow. In 2003, I went there. I trained for a month. I come back to Connecticut, and I went back and moved there. I moved there in 2004.
Now,
2004, 2005, yeah.
So why did it take so long for us to see you, the American fans? I know there was some visa trouble or something. How come we couldn't get you in the UFC earlier?
Yeah, man. You know, I had that visa problem. I went to Brazil, you know. I thought I was going to be there only for like three to four months, you know. The guys say, the lawyer, and the interview went wrong, and they denied me somehow. I don't know. Maybe they thought I wasn't married, you know. I'm still married with my wife after I get the green card for years, you know. And maybe they thought I was just wanted, you know. Back then, I think, was a lot going on there. People get married for green card, you know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
So how long did it take you to get back in?
And then it took me like 3.5 years.
Wow.
You know, my wife sent a letter to the senator. I forgot the senator name right now. She have this beautiful letter she sent, and they read the letter, man. They call in, they make things happen, and that was it was very touchy letter. It's a very beautiful thing.
3.5 years, you know, wow.
Yeah. Three and a half years.
And you must be excited. Like, there's so many guys. The light heavyweight division is so great right now. And there's a lot of guys in the top 10. You being number 10 right now, I think you have fought Jones, Gustafson, and Corey Anderson. None of the other guys have you fought, if I'm looking at this correctly. There's a lot of incredible fights for you. Even guys a little below you, like Johnny Walker would be an exciting fight. Do you have your eye on anybody now? Is there anybody you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, right now, man, I'm taking my time off. Like you say, the light heavyweight, it's so many guys, it's so many up-and-coming fighters. It's, you know, I love it. I love it. Like, very excited. Very excited for the sport the way it is right now. And I'm enjoying my time off. Of course, I asked Corey Anderson there at the time. I lost that fight, and I'd like to have that rematch. But But I don't know, man. I'm gonna take a couple weeks off, and I'll get back in the game soon, and I'll see who I fight, see who they talk. I don't care, man. I fight anyone.
Yeah.
I'll fight anyone. I love to fight. I never say no to any fight. You know, I'm one of those guys that they don't have a problem with me.
Well, listen, man. You know, I'm a huge fan, Glover. Listen, are you gonna go see Avengers Endgame? Do you watch Avengers? Do you watch those movies?
Matt, when I was 12, I used to watch those movies. Yeah.
No, come on, Glover. Don't break my heart. Glover, what kind of movies do you like, Glover?
Me?
Yeah.
I like those kind of movies, man. Believe me, I like. I say that joking around.
Yeah.
I joke around with my friends. I'm always like, hey, say, Glover, you got to go see this movie. I'm not very, like, through about it. I'm not one of the movies that I'm going to be there in the line. I'll wait for a couple.
Yeah.
I'll wait for a couple weeks. I'll be going to watch for sure.
Yeah.
But the movies that I like action movie, man. Yeah. I like, you know, Denzel Washington movie, you know, Training Day, Man on Fire, those kind of movies.
Like,
you know?
Real, like adult real movies.
Yes.
Not comic.
Yeah, kind of like that. But, I like superhero movies too, man. You know, it's been in my blood. I used to love comic books when I was younger, so I still, I still get like excited when I watch them.
Yeah, well, you're like a superhero, Glover. At least a little bird, Jimmy. You are.
Yes, you are. I'm like a little Sonic Hedgehog.
Hey, Glover, really quick, man. Not really quick, but let's plug your school. And it's in Danbury, Connecticut, correct?
Yes, Danbury.
What and the name of your school and do you have a website?
Teixeira MMA and Fitness. It's TeixeiraMMAFitness.com. You know, it's a great gym, man. It's right in the battle line, Denver battle line. You know, it's beautiful, man. It's busy. It's going amazing. I like what I see. You know, and that anybody, you know. You know that, Matt. You have a gym, and you
you know, you've been fighting for a long time. I see you. Yeah. So
we got we got similar lives like that. And when you love what you do, Glover, you know that old saw. When you love what you do, you know, you never work a day in your life. And I see that like with you. You love to fight. And you got your family, you got your jiu-jitsu, you got your school. I mean, what's better? You're living the dream, my man.
I am living the dream, man. You know, like I said, I was telling you, like you have a gym and you know, like all these students, man, they take it to the blood, man. They take it like they were so pissed of that guy. Every student of mine was like the one that was there. They wanted to fight the guy because the guy didn't shake my hand in the ring. So they all, I was like, hey, guys, don't worry about it.
He respects you. I was going to say, he respects you now, buddy. That worked out.
Did he speak to you after the fight?
Yeah, he did. He come by and say hi. I think it was just, you know, some of those things, man. You just got to, everybody have their way to sell the fight, you know. So.
Yeah. You don't take it personally.
It is what it is. I don't take it personal. No, not at all.
Not today. Not today, baby. That's the line of the day.
Congratulations, man. It was a really great choke. And you're back to number 10. So I'm sure we'll talk to you again. Congratulations on your after-the-fight victory over Matt Serra, too. That was two victories in one night.
There's a good There's a good picture of you choking me, Glover, the UFC put out there.
I know your neck is huge, man. What
my neck is huge.
You're like 15-inch neck like Mike Tyson back in the day.
Well, 19 and a half to be exact. Yeah? But but that's awesome, Glover. Hey, listen, man, congratulations, my man. And I can't wait to see you again, buddy.
All right, my friend.
All right, take care, Glover.
Thank you, pal.
Take care. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Such a great guy.
Yeah, really nice guy. I've never met him.
Sweetheart. Oh, he's such a great guy, man. I like the you know, the people I met on this journey called life.
I was just thinking during that when you said, like, you're living the dream. He's like, I am. I'm living the dream. I've never heard, like, a Brazilian fighter or any of these guys that you run into. They're always happy. They're happy. They're positive. It's like just a positive group of people, you know?
Well, especially they probably grew up. A lot of these guys grew up in really, really poor or tough neighborhoods. Yeah. And everybody's fighting. And then here you are making a great living fighting. Like, you're making a great living doing what the whole neighborhood did.
Right.
So, it does seem like a lot of the Brazilian fighters are very, very grateful for where they are. And they are enjoying it. And, you're right.
That clip right there of him walking across. First of all, I love it. I like it even more now. Play that again. Do you have the sound of it?
Yeah, I can put the sound
on. Put the sound on. And you see him mouthing, not today. That's out of a movie. Look at this. Look at this. He's walking across. He's doing the throat cut. Shakes his head. Not today. Not today.
Glover's not even fazed.
That's going to be annoying when, or whatever you want to say, when he walks across and he's like, I'm going to get in his face. And Glover's like, not today.
Not today. Like, and then he chokes you.
It's so funny. I see.
That's the more annoying part. He stretches you out, and the choke was on for, 2 seconds before he tapped? I mean, that was a brutal choke.
That was just so cool, the way that was done, man. It really was.
What did he do? He locked his legs around. He locked his feet around
He got his hooks in, so he flattened them out. If I remember correctly, you could put it on.
That was a brutal
choke. I mean, you know, I had pretty good seats, Jimmy, but let's see the play-by-play here. Look at that guillotine he's attacking. Yeah, he started coming back at that round. Look at this. Yeah, Glover.
Yeah.
It's just fucking awesome, man. I was so happy.
Yeah, and he still hits like a fucking tank.
One thing I noticed is that everything that Ione was doing.
Ione.
It was explosive standing up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a really dangerous guy.
Passes the guard, knee across the belly.
Effortlessly.
This is why you want to mount.
Ground and pound. And then he gives him the room to get up and then mounts him to the back.
Well, he gives him the room to give him
to
his
turn
back.
Around. Yeah, yeah.
He gets hooks in. Look. Hooks in. Flattens him out. And look at this. Kind of the same choke he did to me right there. Yeah, rear naked.
That's a professional rear naked choke right there.
You can see the effortless kick of the legs to flatten him out. And it was just.
Oh, man. That was so much fun.
That was a brutal choke.
Beautiful.
Both of those giant arms around his face. No. Oh, what an awful place to be.
Can we plug this weekend's fights after Jimmy wants to plug his little...
Jim Norton is doing the Borgata July the 5th and May the 16th and 17th or 17th and 18th. I'm going to be in Rochester Comedy on the Carlson or at the Carlson, a great club. And good luck this weekend, Matt. Have a good trip.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. Let's give a proper plug for the fights this weekend.
Aya Quinta Cerrone this Saturday night on ESPN+. If you can't be there, you can certainly watch it on ESPN+. That is the main event. And the co-main event is, oh my God, don't tell me we had, oh, I'm so glad, Shane Burgos against Cobb Swanson. Yeah. Glover Sher called in. And we, oh, Derek Brunson against Elias Theodoro. Okay. That is the co-main. Elias Theodoro's Canadian guy. So some really, really great fights. Walt Harris is fighting.
Yeah, no, it's
really
a great
good. Merab against, God damn it, eight. No, I know his record, but I can't remember his name.
Brad Kitzel.
Yeah, I can remember the record, but not the name.
That's Jimmy, do you want to walk?
Hug?
Well, yeah, well, that's friends. A given. Do you want to walk with me to the Penn Station?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody, I'll see you when I'm back from Canada.
We have to have a thing that we sign off with. Something that we sign off with.
All
right. Hey, we may be the official podcast of the UFC, but we'd encourage you to wrestle with your troubles.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.